Welcome back to Of Steam, Steel, and Murder. Tonight's episode is the second and last part to Session 12. We appreciate feedback from our listeners, and you can leave those comments either at steamsteelmurder@gmail.com, or better yet, leave a review on iTunes. But now, on to Episode 12, Part 2.
That's one thing that we haven't got into a lot, but placing temporary aspects on other people or things so that someone else can take advantage of it is really useful in the system, especially if one person's got a lot of chips and everyone else is down chips.
We'll try, and I think we might try and do that a bit more just to mix things up.
Yep. But otherwise, you could get like a command stunt or some stunt, a leadership stunt that will allow you to give chips to other people at a 2-for-1.
2-for-1's a bit expensive.
Yep. All right.
But if you get a high enough refresh that that you don't have enough aspects to use them.
Yeah, if you you let your refresh go up high, and that becomes your stunt, is that your Cobra Commander, and you give your
Well, it'd be nice. When we fought the guys on the farm, and that guy went into the blaze, it would be nice to give them a chip all of a sudden to say, "Don't go on the blaze."
See. In my Savage Worlds game, I just introduced Nikita Khrushchev. So he always has, like, you know, 2d6 Spetsnaz soldiers he could just summon and give give bennies to.
Yes. Okay, I am recording again. And so you just puzzled out that Sylvan Pines is apparently a super exclusive, super expensive psychiatric facility in District 1.
For the damned.
Yes, I was asking the doctor to see if any of his contacts can tell us anything else about it.
Yes, give me a contacting role, doctor.
One.
One. The only thing you're able to dig up from anyone is that it is a super exclusive facility. It has a special license in Metapol. It acts like an embassy. So, police don't have any rights there, guilds don't have any rights there.
Yeah, that'll be pretty difficult.
Do we want to go there? Oh, we're going to have to go there. We're going to have absolutely no standing whatsoever.
Yes. Well, then, I guess we should call ahead and try to make an appointment to discuss this with them.
I mean, the worst you can do is just bar a sentry and make us leave. I mean, if we go there, we won't lose anything.
Yeah, well, no, I think the doctor's right in there. You know, an appointment's a good way to go if we can set one up quickly.
Yeah, I will attempt to make a call to that office.
Yeah, and, sure. The letterhead
set up an appointment to talk to some of the administrators.
Mm-hmm.
She is dead, so it's not like we're trying to get dibs on someone who's currently around.
Yes.
So Sylvan Pines, the information sheet did include a phone number, and it is an operator gets on the line, and they connect you to the facility. It has its own switchboard on the other end, apparently. Once the connection's made, you get the reception desk at Sylvan Pines, and Sylvan Pines.
Hello, my name is Alexander Barba. I'd like to talk to some of the administrators there about a former patient of yours that had recently come up in an investigation of ours.
To whom would you like to speak? The director is currently with a client right now, and Dr. Klimp is also engaged. Can I leave a message?
Do you think maybe I could set up a appointment to discuss with them in
Certainly.
Person.
Looking at Dr. Rapuler's book, she has she is free after 5 o'clock today. She's usually here at the clinic until 7. Dr. Klimp leaves at 4 today. If you come between 3 and 4, you might be able to see him. But Dr. Rapuler would be available.
Okay, I think that was the one that actually prescribed the pills, right, Bert?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to talk to all three of them if I can. So I guess you said he's available right now, Raph?
No. He is with a client right now. He'll be available after, or she will be available after 5 o'clock. Who I ask is calling and to what regards?
My name is Alexander Barba. Mm-hmm. And I told you it's due to an ongoing investigation on a former patient of yours that you had there.
Oh, okay.
While I hear him talking about this, I reach over and point to his guild investigation badge.
They shouldn't need to know my guild investigation. I'm known everywhere.
Let me see if Dr. Sadat is available. Maybe he could answer your questions a bit better. If you can hold for a moment. I said he again. I should have said she. Sorry. A few minutes later on the phone, there is another woman, a different woman on the phone. This is Dr. Sadat. How may I help you?
Yes, Dr. Sadat. This is Alexander Barba. You may have known. You may have heard of me. I'm doing an investigation with. I'm doing an investigation for the guild right now on a former patient of yours. And I'd like to come in and talk to you in person, and Dr. Rathbone, about some specific things. I believe it was actually a patient of Rathbone, but I'd like to just find out what information you have about him. Sadly, the patient is no more.
Oh, it is a deceased patient.
Confidentiality issues involved.
I see. And who is the patient? I have to see if I have the authority to discuss the patient or not, dead or alive. There are certain patients that we get that we, for political reasons, can't discuss at all.
Her name is Sandy Walters.
One moment. Let me check my files on this. You hear hold music in the background. What is your level of your oh shoot, your scholarship skill?
It's a 5 with a specialization in medicine.
Okay. Actually, she has no idea who you are. The name did not ring.
That's okay. I believe she knows who I am because I hold myself in high regard.
All right. A little bit later on the phone, she gets back. Yes, Miss Walters wasn't a political patient, so yes, we can discuss her case file. When would you like to meet?
Your secretary told me that you would be free after 5.
Well, Dr. Rathmuller is free after 5. Dr. Klimp usually leaves by 4. I'm free now if you'd like to speak to me. My specialty here is in group therapy. She was one of my patients. So I do have some limited information on her. I'd be glad to talk to you.
What time is it, Bert?
Let's say it's like 3 o'clock by now.
Okay, that sounds good. I think we will head in over to that area and discuss it with you, and then that should give us enough time to discuss it with the other two doctors today.
Certainly. If you will just present your identification to the gate guard, they will let you in. We'll expect you sometime around 3 then.
Absolutely. I will be also bringing along 2 guests with me that are also involved in the investigation.
Certainly. Just make sure everyone has identification, please.
Okay. All right, and I'll end the call. Mm-hmm. I'll tell her thank you, and then I'll end the call. Right here.
I was just thinking, aside to Drina, if everything goes wrong, it's all Barbara's fault at this rate.
Oh, awesome. Don't worry, I've got knockout gas. We can make a queen getaway.
Well, I don't like telling them we're coming, but I don't see any other option here.
They have, you know, asylum, so we've pretty much got to set an appointment up. If we could just try to show up, they're going to shoo us away.
Yeah, exactly. If we just turned up without warning, they'd say, you have no holdings here, we don't want to talk to you, go away and make an appointment at best.
You guys should have a map available to you now called Sylvan Pines. You can bring that up.
Should we copy our characters across?
Yeah.
This is not a battle mat. It's just something I photocopied, but it should work.
Yeah, with the way I've got my macro set up, if I want to run it, I have to have my character on it.
Yeah, it's actually quite a large facility.
The brochure had mentioned that it is on 5 acres of land. So what is the game plan?
So I got a question for everybody. What's our arrangements for getting there? Are we all taking our own vehicles? Or are we all climbing into one car?
Presuming with Gardga and Drina's car, I was probably thinking that's what I tend to do.
I'm fine with taking guys.
Okay. I'll go in Drina's car too then, if that's all right.
We all know what happened to your car the last time you were on an outing.
Drive out. I don't think we should have any problems getting there.
No, it's more for Bert's knowledge in case we have to make a quick getaway.
Give me just a second.
Drive the car like outside the place in the woods or something.
No, if we have to crash through the front gates, at least it'll be your car damaged and not mine.
Do you think we need to tell someone about it and have fares arranged to alert them to come and get us?
Oh, my secretaries know.
Now, how do they?
But they won't do anything about it.
Right. So they, by when you say they know, which means they don't know.
Well, they know I'm going up to that location. They just don't know. I haven't instructed them to do anything in case I don't show back up. But I'm sure they'll call the cops after a day or two.
They're filled with such confidence. Yes, I'm getting feedback through Bird.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately going through some other windows on my computer. It's causing feedback. I'll be done in just a second. And it should go away.
Peach. Off. Sylvia Alice Brighton.
All right, there. I found your icon. Should show up on the map here shortly.
Yeah, I've got it.
Woo!
Tell me if you can move them around. I might have to change who it belongs to. Yep,
we're all good.
Okay.
It just somehow I lost all the stats that I put in, but whatever.
Alrighty, so you're all showing up in Drina's car. The facility sits on a hilltop. It's at the far... Metapole set up kind of like a spokes on a wheel. This facility is on the outer edge of the spoke where there actually is some wilderness. So it actually sits on this hilltop that's got some woodland around it. There is a 15-foot high whitewashed concrete or rock fence that surrounds the outside of the facility. And at the very front where the single driveway kind of goes up the hill and off to the side, you couldn't get a vehicle up because there's woodlands and rock. It comes up to a wrought iron gate. There is no guard box or anything on the outside as you pull up.
It's interesting. So are we supposed to let ourselves in?
Well, Drina, you go right up to the gate. Well, as your car kind of gets up to the front of the gates, you hear over like a loudspeaker that you now notice on the edge of the fence. The Sylvan Pines facilities. Who is requesting entrance?
This is Alexander Barba and company. You should have been expecting us.
All right. If everyone would please, if you can step out of the car and please show me your... face your identification towards the loudspeaker.
Okay.
Alright, I suppose I will proceed.
Is this technology would be sort of common?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
You step out of the car, and as you take a look at the area where the voice is coming from, there is a large, like a phonograph horn sticking out. There's also a very large glass, looks like a magnifying lens that's kind of mounted on a tube. And it kind of swivels around and seems to focus on you there, Alex. And it seems to kind of look up and down where you're holding up your identification. The rest of you guys get out of the car, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that.
What, after everyone is out of the car and you're all are showing your identification, are you showing the guild identification or just personal identification?
Guild.
Yeah, there you
go. All right.
Same.
You hear a audible click at the gate, and the gate swings open. A voice over the loudspeaker says, "Drive on up to the main facility. There's a parking lot directly in front of it there."
All right. Get back in and wait for Trina to drive into the facility.
As soon as your car passes over the threshold and there is enough room for it, the wrought iron gates kind of close behind you slowly.
And there's a sign that says, "Abandon Hope All."
New characters, new adventure. Right.
The facilities are quite nice. It's a well-manicured lawn. The driveway is kind of a pebble path. You can see a tennis court off to your right, and it looks like an outdoor swimming pool a little bit further beyond that. It looks like it looks like a country club, really. And as you drive up, there are a couple of people in white uniforms standing in front of the double doors there. One of them is a dark-skinned man. Indian, perhaps Hispanic, and the other one is darker yet. Could be African. And they just kind of wait, and they direct you off to the side, an area where you can park your car.
Okay, fair enough. We park, and then I guess we go back up and ask for it.
Sure. The two guys come out and they introduce themselves to you as Hassan and Geraldo. These, as you kind of get out in the car and walk towards them, the perception of size becomes more apparent as you get close to them. Both of them are very large men. Their uniforms are very snug and close fitting, showing off their physiques. They definitely have the aura of orderlies about them. But they seem to be, you know, quite affable, and they're very pleasant to you and well-mannered, and say, please, the doctor has reserved a meeting room for you. Only one of the doctors is able to speak to you right now, but depending on your needs, we may be able to arrange more as they are finishing with clients. If you'll follow us, please.
I'm looking around. Do they have towers to receive power from the city? Does it look like that's how they get their power here?
No, they don't actually.
Out of curiosity, since they're far from the center.
Mm-hmm. They don't have any tower on the facility.
Yeah, don't necessarily need one when within range of the city.
Yeah, the towers, the broadcast towers. Need
a booster of some sort?
Yeah. The broadcast towers will do broadcasts all the way to the extreme edge of the city. It just doesn't go much beyond, although good boosters will bring it further. But you don't even see like a booster tower here. You don't even see a reception tower here. Most buildings have them.
I will be looking around, sort of seeing what sort of security details, security options there are.
Well, what's immediately obvious is the whole place is surrounded by a 15-foot wall. It doesn't have barbed wire or anything at the top of it. You don't see patrols of men around or anything. It really does give just the atmosphere of a very well, you know, a well-to-do gentleman's club or resort.
If I could afford $2,000 a day, I might come here too.
They bring you into the area there where it says main office. It's an octagon, and each of the facets of the octagon is actually a glass wall. So you can see, you know, from all sides of the facility. And there is kind of like a half moon shaped desk in the middle of it, with several chairs around it. And as you come to the door,
is that the place over here?
Mm-hmm. And as you come to the door, there is. Just a second. A woman in her 40s, very short. She's barely 5'2". Has a very, it's a dark kind of creamy complexion to her skin. If any of you guys have been spent extensive time outside of the area or traveling at all, you can give me a scholarship role. If you pretty much just stayed in one nation most of your life, it's not likely that you'd pick up.
Well, my character spent a lot of time in Europe during the wars. Does that apply?
Sure, yeah.
Four.
All right, if you got a 3 or better, you can place her as being Egyptian.
Sorry.
So she has black hair. It's cut just below the ear, so she also has very short hair for the style of the day as well. Brown eyes. She probably was very attractive when she was younger, but she's kind of let herself go as she's got older. But she stands as you enter, and she kind of looks you over and offers her hand to the doctor first. I am Dr. Lillian Sadat. Am I speaking to Mr. Alex Babar? Babar? Okay,
he's back.
Dropped. I'm back.
There you go.
Lillian shakes your hand and says, Doctor, it's good to meet you. I'm afraid I don't know much about your practice, but I will give you what aid I can. She has a manila folder on her desk.
Dr. Barba?
Yeah, here, have my card.
Well, she takes your card, looks it over. And she hands you her card.
Then take her card and keep it for later, just in case I need to contact her again.
Please, have a seat. I have pulled the file on Miss Sandy Walters, and I believe this is who you want to discuss.
Yes. I want to know why she was in this facility, if you can.
Well, her records aren't sealed, so I don't see that that is a problem. She goes through it. Looks like it is work-related stress. She was here to undergo psychiatric evaluation and some stress-relieving activities and different new ways that we've applied medical technologies in allowing people to more relax themselves.
Could you give me some examples of those? I know when we when I investigated, she had some items attached to her her frontal lobe.
Oh, yes, Dr. Klemp has a new device that we are using in these facilities. I'm afraid I don't know the particulars about them, but all patients undergo the therapy with Dr. Klemp. It's perhaps more his place to explain that technology. But it has a feedback system in which we use an engine. Are you familiar with engines?
Yes.
Okay.
I am, yes.
It's basically an interactive feedback system that allows you to see how stressful you are, and therefore if you can visualize it and see it, you're more able to reduce those levels yourself.
And do you lead the group therapy session?
I do.
What were some of the things that she discussed in group therapy? What were some of the work-related stresses that she mentioned by name?
Well, we don't deal with particulars in the group methodology. What we do is, well, some of the methods that I use, I'm sure you are very familiar with
the new inkblot system that's out. Are you? She looks at your card again. You're not a doctor of psychiatry, I see.
No, I'm more of a general practitioner.
Okay, well, you're familiar with the Rorschach inkblots that are all the fad now, and being able to express perhaps emotions one doesn't know that they're holding inside. And she goes over, you know, all kinds of other psychological group therapy methods they use. A lot of it is just seems to be finding it, it all really seems to you to be a bunch of bunk, to be honest. You don't really see how these things see how these things could reduce someone's stress, but you're not a psychiatrist either, so
And it seems very interesting that they're using Rorschach in a group setting. I thought that was always done one-on-one. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. She well, does.
So you're
she
behind
actually,
with the latest psychiatric practices there.
Apparently.
She turns the file over and just kind of hands it to the group, to, you know, your group as a whole here, and just allows you to go through it. This is the data that we
and
have.
How well was Miss Walters responding to all this treatment?
Oh, very well. From what I could tell in my proceedings with her is that the woman simply did not know how to relax. And just having a month stay here away from work seemed to do her general health quite a bit of good. We do, of course, prescribe a course of light sedative and antidepressant, antipsychotic medications as well. But for the most part, just getting her out into the sunlight and talking to new people and getting her mind off of work seemed to do the trick for her.
Can you look in the medical files you have there and check this list of drugs, and I'll put the list down. Were those all prescribed?
She takes the file back for a moment and flips it to the page of prescribed medications and is like, yes. Yes, they are. These were all at the bare maintenance dose that we recommended for up to a month following release of patients here. And after that month, they should be able to do without them.
And tell me, were they all at the same time, or were they prescribed at different times during her treatment?
Oh, at different times.
Okay. Can you put them in an order of when they were prescribed to her?
Yeah, sure. The sheet that she points out tells you exactly when each were tried, and they, you know, what the effects were. It's like, this seems to be good at controlling this particular thing. Patients showed a little bit of depression after this medication fixed this, so we're going to give you this other medication to fix the depression. Oh, look, that antidepressant caused a, you know, so it's the general rigmarole of medication when you start over-medicating people. You're starting to give prescribed medications to fix problems that other medications are causing. But the doses are quite low. Lillian is pointing out, they were just simply maintenance doses. Of course, while she was here, the doses were much higher, and they are registered in her sheet there.
Did she show any aggressive behavior while she was here?
Some, yes. Her first week we almost had to confine her to Ward 2. While she did come here under her own impetus, we do occasionally get patients that are committed here, and it seems that the superiors gave her the ultimatum that she had to take a month off and come here for rehabilitation in order to keep her job. And there were some anger issues over that.
Do you think she would have any trouble reassimilating back into her work life after her time here?
Oh, not at all. I'm sure with the techniques that we taught her, she would be able to manage just fine.
Yes, of course.
See the fall for a moment,
so that she could manage the stress of life on her own.
Yes, yes. She responded quite favorably to all the treatments that were given her here.
Her exit examination was quite favorable. And as she was not committed here, of course, we had no reason to keep her beyond when she would like to stay. And it was a 1 month remanded course.
Has she been here in this facility prior?
I'm sorry, say that again.
She'd been to this facility prior to this first visit, or this visit.
No, this was her first visit to us. Now you were saying that Sandy is deceased. What were the circumstances?
We're still trying to figure out exactly what the circumstances was. Let me consult with... can you give us a moment?
Oh, sure. I need to make some rounds anyway. I'll just leave you here, and I'll be back in a few minutes. And she picks up her clipboard and leaves.
Damn, we need that grandfather clock. Anyway.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
I just have another with me.
Yeah, I take it everywhere. It's not conspicuous or anything.
Right, I'm Janie on the spot, but I'm not dropping that aspect to bring it here.
You've always got these two moving guys with a dolly coming around behind you with a clock.
Now, you know, so Gadget might be able to pull that out. But yeah.
I don't know. She seems like she's on the up and up. We should just tell her that her patient, in a homicidal, suicidal rage, took two pens and drove them into her ears. And see what she
did. That she murdered a colleague?
We may or may not put that in there too, but sure.
Okay. I just wanted to know if we wanted to say she died or if she killed herself or if we wanted to say if there was another person involved.
Well,
do we want to link to suspicions of malpractice or just incompetency?
Well, what would that get us?
Yeah, I don't think that'll help the circumstances.
On. If this is going on and this is going to happen again, then we would probably do best if we would stop that now.
Yes, but
to have our minds when we're talking to people, then fine.
I think if we try to allude to malpractice or anything like that, it's just going to shut them down.
Yeah, just saying we can keep an eye out for while we're here.
Well, let's.
What I'm really curious about is that feedback system.
Well, yeah, we can ask to look at it. I think I have some tin foil you can wrap your head in.
I've heard that amplifies the signal.
What I was going to say was, so if we bring up the malpractice thing, then what we're pushing for is to say she died as a result of some kind of malpractice here, either something, the drug or the treatment here, either didn't help her at best or made her problem worse. And they're the responsible party here. And it's not anything to do with the shenanigans at the, you know, at the...
Went back to work after a month here, and within a number of hours, attacked, killed a colleague and killed herself, merely because some inventory had been misplaced. I know where my suspicions are at the moment.
So we're saying that what's going on at the dock is just incidental to this murder-suicide.
She had actually
It's not necessarily incidental. It's the catalyst, but it's not necessarily.
It's not directly related to this. It's just, catalyst trigger.
Also, just to be...
But if we do allude...
Just to be precise about it, actually, she was here for a month, for 30 days, and then she was home for a week, and then she had started back. So she'd actually been released over 2 weeks ago.
Ah. That I did not get at all.
That was her first day back on the job, but she had been released several weeks ago, or a couple weeks ago.
The only thing I worry if we try to go down the route of saying this might be malpractice is they might shut down. Technically, they don't have to help us with our investigation.
I'm not saying we go and start accusing people. I'm just saying we keep an eye out for that sort of thing happening.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. So do we start wandering around and saying we're trying to find Sadat, or...
Could ask to see the
well, maybe Klimp might be available by now.
The apparatus.
I'm sure there's guards outside of the room, right?
There's actually not. I mean, like I said, you can see there's a window in each of the edges of the octagon, so you can see clear all the way around the office. There's no one actually out watching you. I mean, you do see people walking up and down the halls, but no one's actually posted.
I say we just wait here until she gets back. No reason to wander potentially cause a problem unless you guys want to try to find some stuff without them knowing. That
I
may cause bad blood long term.
Looking, let alone know what I'm looking at.
Well, I was going to say we should just go and ask some people if they know where Dr. Sadat is so we can just go meet her. I mean, we may come across something interesting. It's better than just waiting here.
Indeed. Do we actually? How much of this map do we actually have any details on Bert? Obviously, I don't think we have all the names and all the brooms, but do we?
Yeah, actually, everything that you see there that you can actually see, you can pretty much see. And the names of the rooms are actually on placards outside of the room, so anything you see there, you can see.
A clever ruse.
I was trying to find Clint's room and I can't see it.
Could be because he doesn't have one.
Maybe. So, we're going to get walking. Do you want to go try the staff lounge or do you want to go walking somewhere else?
Hygiene staff lounge doesn't sound like a bad idea. We could just ask some people who've been here about, maybe there's more love quadrangles and triangles and heptagons around here that we may be able to investigate, or that contributed to the death.
Okay, I wasn't even going that way, but we could, I guess.
Sure, so you guys are just going to wander around and go for the staff lounge?
When we get in there, we'll say that we're looking for Dr. Sadat.
Oh, sure. As I said, there are people walking, up and down the corridors. There are a couple of people that are just like in very nice bathrobes that seem to be strolling around and talking to each other as well. You do see some people in medical scrubs going in and out, but no one seems to be paying you any attention. You do find the staff lounge easily enough. There's a placard on the side there. Staff lounge seems to be, it's got a cafeteria. It's got some music playing in the background. The only people in here right now, there's a man and a woman, Asian, that are sitting around, on the break table having some coffee, talking to one another in a language I don't believe any of you know. If none of you know Japanese, then you don't know what they're talking about.
Nope.
Yes. They kind of look up at you as you walk in, and both of them smile, and they point towards the coffee machine, as if to say, it's that way, we know you're here for it.
Well, in that case.
I go get some coffee. Then I head over and join them.
The man and woman both stand up as you come in and they extend their hands. Hello?
Yeah. I shake their hands. Hello.
The man says, my name is Nico and this is Suburo. Are you new patients?
No, we're not patients. We're just here for a short meeting with Dr. Sagat.
Oh.
No, it's curious that there are a lot of Japanese gentlemen working for this medical center.
Oh, we are assistants. We are still going through school.
Oh, I see. You're a resident?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, actually,
what do you think of the... Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to... What do you think of... I mean, a friend of mine was... Actually, she was here for just a little while. Sandy.
Oh, Sandy. Yeah. Sandy, he looks at her.
Walters,
at
she's Walters. Yay high.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, did you, get a chance to talk to her while she was here? I mean, she was only here a month or so.
Oh, occasionally, when she was in the recreation rooms, she was not assigned to us as a patient, but we did see her in the halls. We do not have so many patients that a new face can go unseen.
Okay. Take care.
Can you speak up a little, Abel? I can barely.
I said, who was taking care of Sandy? Do you know?
Well, all the doctors. They have their specialties. Dr. Klimp with the isoneurotherapy. Lillian does the group therapy. AJ prescribes medications.
Who prescribes medications?
AJ, Mr. Williams. He's the male nurse here. He administers medication, keeps track of how the patients are doing with them.
And I point to his office, which is right there.
Dr. Rathmuller, of course, sees them initially and sets them up with their regime of health for their stay. Very rarely does she take personal patients, though. She is the administrator of the facility.
Interesting. So you said AJ is the one that normally prescribes it. Would he normally write the prescriptions, too?
Well, he would write his what he recommends, and then Dr. Rathmuller will sign off on it. Who did you say you were again?
My name is Alexander Barba. We're here. Okay.
Ah. Well, feel free to look around if Leela is not available right now. The only places you're not allowed to go are the Ward 2 areas. Those are our patients that have that are very violent. So those areas are off limits to anyone but personnel. But no one will mind you looking at our facilities.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you very much, John.
Do you know when AJ will be in?
He may be in his office now. Goes over and knocks on the door. And, AJ, you in there? Yeah. Yeah, he's there.
Shall we go talk to him for a minute while we,
AJ opens his doors. He's a white male. He's tall. He's got this, large, like, well-groomed pompadour on his head with long sideburns. And he's wearing white scrubs as he comes out. He's got the white booties on. Oh, guests. Hi, I'm AJ. He steps out, offers his hand. What can I do for you?
We were just talking to Dr. Sadat. But the staff here mentioned that you're the one who normally writes the prescriptions. We're here about a former patient. Her name is Sandy, Walters.
Yeah, can I,
Who are you? Can I see some credentials? I'm not really allowed to talk.
My name is Alexander. My name is Alexander Barber, and I hand him my card.
All right, Dr. Barber. That's fine, but I still don't understand why you want to know about one of our patients.
She's in an investigation right now. I'll show my investigation badge.
Come into my office. I'll see if her files are locked or not. If they're not, I'll tell you what we got. And he just kind of walks into his office, leaves the door open.
Yeah, we walk.
Sure. He goes through his filing cabinet, locates her file pretty quickly. He's like, here we go. They're not sealed. What do you like to know?
Any of the medication that you prescribed, would it may it have had a negative side effect of increasing her anger reactions?
Well, only if you're experiencing.
And this list of prescriptions, does it match what you actually wrote down?
It looks it over. Yeah, it sure does. Unless she was getting particular large amounts of alcohol, which she has stated she's a non-drinker anyway, and she was warned about the interactions with drugs. Or if she became highly agitated, and she was warned about this as well. There's no reason why these drugs should have any problems. Is she all right?
She is now.
Well, she won't be having any anger problems in the future, that's for sure.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm glad she's doing better.
And you don't know anything about... What?
I can barely hear you, Abel.
And you don't know anything about any of her other treatments that were going on in the facility? I heard she was undergoing an experimental engine-based treatment.
Oh, isoneural. It's not experimental. It's pretty much all patients go through it here. It's a Dr. Klemp specialty. I don't know a lot about it myself, other than it's part of the course. Yep, right here, 7 o'clock every day.
I can't think of anything else I want to ask about him, so I think we'll... Do you happen to know where Dr. Sadat would do her rounds at?
She's probably down at the rec center right now. Physical therapy is around this time of day.
Do you know where Dr. Klemp is at the moment?
Yeah, he usually have patients until about 3 o'clock, 3:30 or so, and he's usually out of here by 4. Here, I'll see if I can page him. And he goes to his desk, and there's a large microphone on his desk, and he talks into it, and you hear over loudspeakers and down the halls, "Dr. Klemp, if you could please report to the staff lounge. Dr. Klemp, to the staff lounge."
Does Dr. Klemp supervise his treatments himself, the treatments that he prescribes himself?
Oh, yes, it's his specialty.
Yeah, when you said that the program is 7 o'clock, you mean all of the patients take part in Dr. Klemp's treatment?
Oh, yes, all patients that are admitted here. We find that it's one of the most effective treatments we've had.
And it's 7 o'clock in the morning?
Well, hers was scheduled for 7 o'clock in the morning every day. Different for each patient.
So what exactly happens during these treatments?
As I understand it, it's a feedback device where it allows the patient to actually see their level of stress or see their psychological problem and are therefore more able to deal with it. He looks kind of like, I guess that's what the copy says.
I guess that. So it's a passive device, not an active device, to your understanding, right?
He kind of looks at you with an expression on his face that says he doesn't understand what you're asking and says, yeah, that sounds good.
And while you guys are talking, you hear a knock on his door that's still opened, and there is an older man at the door. He's got this really shock of just unkempt white hair, really thick glasses. He's kind of stooped over. He's got a really bad posture. He looks kind of old, too.
Hi, I'm Dr. Clem.
You called AJ. Oh, yeah, we've got a couple of people here interested in one of our patients. It's not a sealed folder, Doc. They seem to be with the guilds.
Ah!
He kind of adjusts his glasses and walks over to you guys.
Ah!
And puts out his hand to the first person that's in the line there. Probably Drina, since she was the last one walking in the door.
As I said, I am Dr. Klimp.
What can I do for you?
Doctor, we were in knowing how you developed your method of the machine-based treatment, and wonder about your success rate and any problems you've run into it in the past.
Oh, the success rate is very high. It's an amazing piece of gear. I'm afraid
do you happen to have any literature on the clinical trials of the device?
Oh, no. This is highly classified information. The company that sponsors us here is will be very angry if I let that out. Oh, but come. It's this way if you'd like to see the lab. He walks very slowly.
Yes, I think so.
We've got to see this. We've really got to see this.
He takes you over to this little room that says IS here. And it's got a chair that kind of reclines, and it's got this large headpiece, the old style women's hair dryers you've seen in salons. And it's got this very large, screen, like a projection screen, just in direct view of where the patient would be if they were lying down. And the room ceiling seems to be, the ceiling's painted black. And there seems to be a lot of multicolored lights in the ceiling. This is our ISO-Neuro unit here.
And, right. Could you turn it on right now?
I could turn it on, but it doesn't do a lot of good without a patient in the chair.
Right. Still, we should turn it on. Just curious, you know.
Would you like to sit in the chair, ma'am? And he holds out his hand. It's completely harmless, I assure you.
He's trying to lead you over to the chair.
Sure, I'll go.
All right. He sits you down in the chair.
One of us is going to end up doing this sooner or later. So.
Yeah, I figured as much.
He sits you down in the chair.
Actually, I'd actually prefer if it's... if it gave it over Drina, because then she could look at the engine and make sure that it's working the way it's supposed to. But
I'm going
to
say that.
He starts buckling you into the chair. It's like almost a harness, like a race car driver would wear. And he snugs it down on you and he says, I must attach some electrodes to your scalp here. I promise. This stuff is a little hard to get out, but it will wash out. And he starts just whistling along as he's attaching electrodes to your scalp.
Right, and how long does this kind of take?
Oh, just a few minutes. Fair, we're done. He's attached like six different electrodes to your scalp, and he goes over to the device that looks kind of like a large honey, beehive hair dryer. And starts, pushes a button and starts ratcheting down until it covers, the top portion of your head. It still leaves your eyes open so you can see. And you're staring at the screen in front of you. And he kind of looks over to whoever's closest to the door there and says, could you turn off the lights, please?
Certainly. Turn off the lights. And Bert, while the room is dark, I'm going to get my taser out and point it at the main machine.
All right. He walks
I'm not
over.
Firing it immediately. I just have it ready to do so if I need to.
He walks over to a switch and he pulls a lever. There's a very, not just an audible, but a physical hum that started in the room. It's like you can feel it. just, you know, through your feet and in your bones while you're standing in the room itself. This feeling is magnified several times over to you in the chair, Drina. It's not unpleasant, or painful, just a little, you know, off-putting, unsettling a bit. The lights in the ceiling start going off in regular patterns of colored lights, and your focus is kind of drawn to the screen in front of you, where there's kind of, it's washed in different colors and suggestive shapes, but nothing you can really, you know, make out. It's just all suggestion and shape. And I want you to roll a d6 for me, Abel.
Slash d6, might do it. Yeah, just use slash r space d6. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take what Drina actually rolled and take that 4.
Yeah, I was just trying it out.
Okay. You know, everybody that's watching the room, Drina's eyes just kind of, you know, they just kind of relax for a bit there, and she looks to be just kind of staring off into at the wall, and, you know, you can tell that she's just gone into this very relaxed kind of breathing pattern. Several minutes later.
I've been looking at the shapes out of the corner of my eyes, like, do I see anything? Can I tell any kind of?
It's actually the shapes are very suggestive, but they never stay still long enough for you to, you know, really get a good look at anything. But your mind kind of starts filling in some of the shapes. It's like, oh, you know, that's obviously a car that I worked on. You know, maybe it was a few years ago. I remember that design, and you know, it's stretching up some, you know, some past memories, and but it's really hard. It doesn't stay on the screen long enough for you to really, you know, get a good look or a good focus on anything. To you guys, you know, he lets it run for several minutes, and Trina seems to be fine. Throws a lever, it's off. Drina, for you, it doesn't seem like, you know, you were exposed to this for, like, you know, more than a few seconds at the most.
Okay, Doctor, what was I supposed to see?
Well, he takes your wrist and he looks at a wall clock and starts, checking your blood pressure and everything. He says, "Ah, yes, you're much more relaxed now. Don't you feel more relaxed?"
A little bit, yeah.
Huh.
Drina, do you mind if Drina just takes a quick look at the engine itself? I think she would be fascinated. Obviously.
He looks a little hesitant over this.
I go over and look at the engine.
Just as he's pondering. Well, it's all encased in like an outer shell. So, I mean, none of its internals are really exposed. So unless you wanted to start taking this machine apart, you're really not going to find too much out about it.
If it's I want to, like, either me or Drina to look for signs of tampering.
So yeah, I mean, why don't you show me how this thing works, Doctor?
Oh, sure. I mean, I can do that. He starts going into an explanation of how the machine works. It doesn't seem that he knows how it's actually put together. He just knows, like, you know, what it's supposed to do and what the end result is, sort of thing. But he's showing you, oh, you push this lever here, and, you know, goes through the whole rigmarole of how the thing functions, if not, you know, how it actually, he doesn't understand the whole process by how it creates images. Just that it's meant to be suggestive, and your mind kind of fills in what's really not there.
What company actually produces this machine?
Well, the facilities is owned by a company that just goes by R3.
R3.
I believe it is a German-based company. That's really all I know about the corporation that sponsors us.
Well, if it's German, it must be okay.
There's no war going on
right here.
Oh no! Please don't touch that. Don't take anything apart.
Sure, just
well, why?
No, no, please don't touch her, that.
Why he's got? Why he's distracted? I'm going to take a look at the chair in more detail. Do you want to roll for that of any kind?
You can.
I'm just looking to see if there's anything that looks like it's not.
Is Drina actually not? Is Drina trying to actually disassemble anything?
I'm pretending to.
Okay. Like, well, then he starts calling for orderlies.
Oh no no no! I'm just having a little joke at your expense, Doctor.
He seems to be quite shaken at your little joke. As far as what the chair looks, I mean, other than the fact that it straps the person down in a way they could not easily remove themselves from the chair, it doesn't seem to be very interesting.
There's no parts that look like they were replaced anytime recently or anything?
Everything looks to be of the same age and design. Nothing looks like it's been added to. The door burst open, and Hassan and Geraldo, the two large guys in the white suits that you saw when you first entered the place, bust in the lab. Dr. Kemp, is everything all right?
Yes, it is.
He kind of looks at everybody and says, I believe so. Perhaps it's best if you escort our friends here
the lobby. Has the dad finished your rounds?
We'll have her meet you in the recreation room. Hassan, Geraldo, if you could please show them to the recreation room.
Oh, one last thing, Dr. Clamp, about the machines, have there been any side effects that appeared in any of the patients recently?
Well, there are a few documented side effects, but nothing substantial. Some people have mentioned a dizziness following the Asunero treatments. Sometimes can last for a few minutes. We have a full hour scheduled of rest afterwards for our patients, of course.
I see.
A quick question, Bert. Are there any sort of like loudspeakers or wax cylinder players or something in the room?
There are loudspeaker horns like all over the facility. You've seen. I mean, you heard AJ, you know, make like an announcement over one of them.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Anyway, I guess we'll let them lead us to the recreation facility.
Okay. You guys start heading out to the recreation facility, and as long as you actually are walking forward, Hassan and Geraldo don't hassle you about it at all. One of them leads and one of them follows behind you.
I asked one of them, can these loudspeakers be specific? Or if you just wanted to alert Dr. Rethmuller, it would just go off in her office?
Oh, yeah. We've got one in every room and in every hall, and you can address wherever you would like.
Yeah, right. How nice.
Oh, I gotta go.
I think you have hit it now.
You can just point the ladies' room out to me.
Oh, sure. They take you down this hall here. Where it's labeled recreation room, and there's actually a restroom. One of these blank. I'll put you over here.
Okay. Any windows?
No windows.
God damn it.
And the other room that's in there is a closet. It's just janitorial supplies. It's locked, but it says janitorial supplies on the door.
Why'd they put me in here? They don't have a proper bathroom?
No, it is a bathroom.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, okay. But it's also got a little janitorial closet inside of it as well.
Anything in the janitor's closet?
It's locked.
That's great. I just wash my hands and come back out.
As you come back out, you guys, there is some kind of commotion going on. I'm just going to drop in a thing here.
Bing. Wow. The hell?
Someone's coming in from the area that you were told it's kind of off limits, the Ward 2 area. And
where is Ward 2 on this damn map anyway?
Everything that's gray shaded.
It's a gray area.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a whole separate part of the facility. But a kind of a very densely built and kind of stocky, short lady is kind of walking up quickly through here with, a couple of other
like a nurse and another orderly behind her, and she seems to be very, very upset, and she's heading for the main office and starts giving orders to the two people behind them, behind her, and they go off down the hallway this way.
Wow.
Where the giant rat is. And the other guy kind of stays at the door that she just came through. So there seems to be some kind of commotion going on over there. The two orderlies kind of look around as if, should we stay with these guys or should we go? And they decide to split the difference. Sasan stays with you. Geraldo goes to see what's going on in the area.
So what do you think is going on?
I don't know.
I mean, dude, well, I'm asking Hassan.
Hassan just shrugs and says, it's Dr. Raffmuller over there. She seems to be quite upset about something.
We should go and talk to her.
No, Hassan's got it. I should probably stay here.
No, I'm going to go talk to Dr. Raffmuller.
Okay. I'll accompany you. So he follows you. As you guys get closer to the main office building, you suddenly hear a beeping kind of alarm going off in the building. It's kind of klaxon sound going off.
Is that a fire alarm?
You do see some red strobe lights kind of going down the hallways. The lights start dimming a little bit. And Dr. Raffmuller seems to be screaming at somebody on the phone.
Since they've all gone away, I'm going to have a look around over here.
As you run up to where she is, screaming at somebody on the phone, everybody starts hearing these sounds of things sliding. It's like metal on metal sliding, and you hear this, just it's reverberating through the hallway, the sound of something going chunk chunk chunk, and the light that was in the facility just dims appreciably.
We have an uprising. They've probably taken the gurneys and trying to bash through the doors. Man, get your tasers out.
What's everybody doing?
Far more likely than the micker I was thinking of.
You know, I got the same impression.
I'm just saying it's the most likely thing. That's a bunch of the violent patients trying to break out of here.
All right, so what are you guys doing? The doctor's still on the phone, and apparently something's happened to the phone. She's kind of hitting the receiver device, just like as if she's trying to get a line. And just keeps reporting, hello, hello, hello?
Dr. Rathbone, what's going on?
It's Raffmuller.
Raffmuller. Sorry.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
Oh.
Well, the time has come. I walk over, and I grab by the arms of we've already got two people dead because of the shit you're trying to pull over here. Now, this house of cards you got is tumbling down around you.
What's Drina's might rating? What's Drina's might rating? Do you have might as a skill?
I do.
How much of it do you have?
I think I have average one.
Okay. Roll me your might roll.
Come on, Drina. Ooh, nice.
Woo. How tall is Drina?
She's like 5'6".
All right, so you are taller than her. When you grab a hold of her wrist, it almost reflexively, she just kind of yanks it towards herself, and you go kind of sprawling over the desk that's between you and her, and you just kind of slide over the top. And it's not like, it didn't seem like she did it on purpose. It was just reflexive, and she's apparently very strong.
Wow, you've been eating your Wheaties, I see.
Yeah, you go sliding and tumbling over the edge of the desk, and she starts yelling at the two orderlies. Who are these people? Get them into a room.
Into a room.
Hassan and Geraldo seem to look puzzled too, and well, they start hustling you guys down the corridor here. It's like, it's best that you follow us. We're on lockdown now. Something's happened in Ward 2. It's for your own safety, really.
Right, so you're going to lock us in a room while the homicidal zombies you've been doing God knows what to are battering down the doors.
He kind of looks puzzled at that. It's like, it would probably be safer in the room.
I'll take my chances out here. I'm not being locked in a room.
Well, let's just give Dr. Rathmuller some room. Maybe she'll calm down and we can figure out what's going on. Let's just walk down here. He doesn't actually look like he's trying to, you know, muscle you guys over or anything. He actually looks concerned and like he wants, he doesn't know what's going on either.
Can I get out into the garden here, Bert?
Actually, no, you should be able to. There's a set of double doors there, but they're locked tight.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, by the way, at the end of the hall is the men and women room.
There we go. Yes.
Right. So, Hassan and Geraldo are with me?
They're both asking everybody to, I'm not going to lock you anywhere. Just back down on the hall a little bit. Let the doctor cool down. She'll tell us what's going on.
Okay.
All right. Guys, after a bit, the alarms go off.
I pull her, Hassan and Geraldo, aside. I say, look, you two guys seem like you're just regular Joes trying to do your job here. I'll tell you right now, we got two deaths. We got a murder-suicide going on, whatever Dr. Klemp is doing, and that room with his black magic machine is making people crazier. And you should know that in case you want to get out of here before the shit really hits the fan. Can't say I didn't tell you.
They kind of confer with each other for a minute. And they,
that old man is crazy. You know he's crazy.
Dr. Klemp
I met him five minutes ago. He's crazy.
Oh, he's an old guy. Cut him some slack. The lights, the remaining lights that there are, go off, and the klaxons stop sounding. There is just a very low glow of light around some of the equipment that apparently have backup power, but it's very hard to see anything. It's essentially pitch black down the corridors now. There's a bobbing flashlight that is coming down the corridors towards you. From where Dr. Rathmuller was, you hear the click, click, click of her heels as she comes down and calls out, Hassan, Geraldo? And they call back out to her. Pretty soon she has come down the corridor and she's got a flashlight out and she, you know, illuminates the area and sees all of you guys except for apparently Gavin, who's wandered off.
I'll probably be back by this point. I can't get out anywhere.
Gavin, I point to Dr. Rathmuller and I mouth the words, steroids.
I'm sorry about that display.
The injection motion to my arm.
I'm sorry about that display earlier, she says, and she holds her hand out. I'm Dr. Rathmuller. I apologize for that. It was a reflex holding her hand out to you, Adrena.
That's some reflex. So, could you tell us what's going on here?
Who are you first? Why are you in this facility? You're not new patients?
No, we're not. We're actually here. I point to Dr. Barber. Dr. Barber, we're doing an investigation on the former patient. We've gotten into a little bit of trouble. We were just here to get some background information.
Here's my card.
Right. Does anybody flash the old IDs?
I've heard of Dr. Barber.
Everybody's already heard of Dr. Barber. Famous around these parts.
I do remember sending some patients to you, actually. Does anybody actually flash Guild ID?
Wait, what?
Does anyone actually flash guild ID?
I do.
I do. That's the main ID I've got.
All right. It appears we have a situation here. I was busy shortly here. We had a patient in Ward 2. Forgive me, you don't know our facilities very well. Ward 2 is our extreme cases, the ones that are committed here by family or other agencies that have an interest in this place. One of them had committed suicide, and we're just coming back checking on them. And then, as much as I do from this point, the alarms went off, and it seems that the institution is in lockdown mode.
Suicide. It's interesting. There's a lot of that going around. Is this the first suicide you've had?
Yes. Ward 2 patients are often very difficult, but we haven't had a suicide in years.
Heard that. You haven't noticed
it. It puts us at 2 from your facility in so many days.
2? The person you came to ask about, I take it.
Yes.
To be fair, she was away from here for a week.
Hassan, Geraldo, go round up some flashlights. I don't know why the backup power isn't coming on.
Who would have access to be able to...
All right, one at a time. Go ahead. What were you saying, Alex? Or not Alex.
I was saying, who would have access to be able to put the facility in lockdown? I would assume that would be something that you would do.
It's an automatic system. We have an engine that controls a large part of our security here.
Which is located where?
The main engine's in the basement.
Perhaps we should go down and have a look?
I suppose. I don't have a key to the facility, though.
I have a key.
Oh.
You have 2 very large orderlies here. I think they will do as a key.
We can try. The door is made to keep people out, of course.
I think you'll find when we get there the door will have been unlocked the entire time.
Mm. She does, once Hassan and Geraldo come back with flashlights and they hand them out, everybody has a flashlight now. You start walking down this corridor towards where the stairs down is into the basement. And as the doctor passes down...
Put the stairs down over here.
Actually, that's not where she's heading. She's heading down to where the staff lounge is. As she passes the corridor that goes down to Ward 2, she kind of looks down in shock as her flashlight goes down the corridor, and she notices that the security door at the end of Ward 2 is opened.
And how did that door open exactly?
It's all controlled by the computers and by slide cards. Those should be locked.
Can I go here and look at this doorway just to see if it's open or not?
It is locked.
Main console for the engine that controls the doors.
Well, the security station has all the monitors in it, but the engine itself is in the basement.
Okay.
You have some control from the security station. Come, let's go. And she goes to the staff lounge.
Who has access to the computer system?
Well, our security guard.
I'm going to the security station.
Right. And that's where she's going as well. As you're flashlights going down the corridors. You pass the Japanese couple that are still in the staff lounge, still drinking coffee, and they raise their mugs up as you pass by. Point you again towards
the coffee machine. Is the other stairs down locked, Bert?
The one where you're standing in front of, it is locked, yes.
Alright.
They go into you go into the security station and you start shining your flashlight around and everything looks normal until you get to where the bank of monitors are, where the screens. Apparently, there's no power here either. There are some lights on, red blinking lights that apparently have some backup power. And the security guard is kind of, he's got his chair back to you, and he's over the console. Shine the flashlight on him, and Dr. Rathmuller says, Ivan! Ivan! and there's no answer. She rushes up to him.
I poke him with the wrench.
Yeah, and he slumps over his chair and falls onto the floor.
Right, and I go get on the console. Like, and I, what's going on with the
console's dead. It has no power.
Ivan apparently has part of Ward 2 to see if I can detect anything.
Checking out what killed Ivan.
Ivan has basically his throat's been cut. And okay, what were you saying, Jameis?
Japanese couple.
Is it still still bleeding out of the throat, or
No, actually, it looks like it's been a while. Quite a while.
How long does it look like it's been? He's been dead
more than an hour.
Okay. How long ago did Sadid leave her office?
Hard to say. Sadat, I mean, she was there to greet you when you came in.
So what time is it now?
So it's like an hour later. It's like 3:30. 4. You were asking something too, Jameis? Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to go over here. I know this is a hotel. It's another entrance to Ward 2, so I just want to check it out.
Yeah, the door is opened. And Dr. Rathmuller looks very shaken at that. He says, we have very violent people on that ward. These doors should never be opened.
Any traces of blood or anything on the floors?
Not around the doors, no.
Does the body look like it had died in that location
first? Yes. He bled out all over his front and is pulled beneath the chair. Someone probably reached from behind, cut his throat.
I think Abel was asking to make sure the two Japanese people were still alive.
You go.
Well, they were still there, but I think he wants to question them, which would be a good idea.
All right. Dr. Rathmuller is, she's got her eyes really wide. She looks like she's just on the verge of terror.
That's a perfectly reasonable reaction. So. Let's frisk Ivan. Does he have any parts on him?
He's got some keys on him. He's also got a flashlight, and it looks like he's got a can of some kind of spray.
I smell it.
It smells heavily of very concentrated pepper.
Excellent. I take all that.
Rick, is there a phone to the outside?
There is a phone on the desk.
They're all dead. I listen on the phone. There's nothing.
Actually, you pick up the receiver and you hear heavy breathing. There's no dial tone. There's no line. You just hear heavy breathing.
You there on the other line. Breathing guy, I'm talking to you. Different. I tap the receiver. You on the other end. Hello.
You hear your click reverberate through the speaker system throughout the whole facility.
So like when I talk, do I hear myself on the PA?
When you ratchet the phone, you hear it, like you hear the clicks over the facility, and then you hear yourself saying, "Hello, hello."
Okay, Joker. Obviously, you can hear me. So, why don't you tell us what's going on here?
There's no reply. Heavy breathing just kind of continues.
Do you have a panic button that goes to the outside?
Well, I was on the phone trying to arrange that panic button when the systems went down.
Oh, we're locked in with a ward full of homicidal maniacs. Why would there need to be an emergency? I'm sorry, I couldn't get through
that. We need to gather people together, back to the staff now, and see if those two are there, see if AJ's there, start gathering people up. Yeah. Secure a location.
Now, we need to get to the basement, and...
Oh, the basement's this way. And she goes back into the staff lounge, and there's you know, a very thick door there, with no label on the outside of it. It's just is the engine room's down through here. But as you can see, these doors are not made to be.
Just to satisfy my curiosity, I go to the double doors that lead to the outside. Are they locked?
Yeah, locked firmly. Like, they don't even rattle or shake when you try to move them. It looks like the whole facility was designed to lock down.
Okay. I have the wrench in one hand and the mace in the other. And we're going down the stairs.
All right. Well, the door is locked. It's in front of it. And it does seem to be a fairly robust metal door.
And none of Ivan's keys open it?
There's no lock on it that you can see. There's a slot for a card.
And unfortunately, there's no power.
Yes, there is. Give me your taser.
Yeah, okay, I'll give it my taser.
I take the battery out of the taser. I'm ripping off the cover of the slide card machine. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to jury-rig something that'll pop this thing open at least once.
Okay, well, give me a repair roll. You realize you need a card. Dr. Rathmuller does kind of figure out what you do, and she hands you her card.
Why didn't you tell me that in the first place?
Well, you slide the card. There's no power. It doesn't read it.
Right, okay. I stick the card in, and I'm trying to hook up the door to the battery, and I roll.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
What's your total? What's your total there, Abel?
Three.
It works. The electricity comes on. It reads the card, but then the red light goes on. Instead of
I jammed the wrench in.
No, you need to trick the door to make it think it got a correct signal back.
Yeah, the door never opens. It just the power comes on to the card reader, but instead of it giving a green good light, it gives a red bad light.
And, even with the director's card?
Yeah,
the it director can't says access that card the computer should open to make everything. Sure it's got a valid code. You need to trick the machinery itself in the door to make it think it got a correct signal.
Okay. Crap.
I don't know if I can be of any help here.
Yeah, how would you do that?
Well, it's got to come in from some sort of wires or something outside of it in of itself.
Yep.
So can you send electrical pulses or the equivalent or whatever it works on? I think it still sends electrical pulses around. To the actual door rather than trying to go the key card route.
All right, let's try the actual whatever the gears are that actually turn that open the door.
Give me you can see that if you can get the housing off around the because you can kind of see in there now, you can see the whole gear structure that would actually move the door open. And you think if you can get the metal shroud off, you might be able to just kind of manhandle the gears to open the door.
Okay. So I try to get the shroud off.
It's going to be a might roll. If somebody wants to help you, they can, start,
Orderlies, big, heavy, strong-armed orderlies. Sure.
They'll grab
Hassan, Geraldo.
Yeah, they'll
take my wrench and take that metal panel off of there.
Yeah, they're able to handily remove the shroud, exposes the gears inside.
No problem.
You tell them where to hunt and pry, they can probably get the gears moving.
So if you take the wrench and just physically turn the gear, you should slowly be able to open the door.
Hassan slips and busts his knuckles, but the other one is able to get the door to crack a little bit open, and with a little bit more force, they're able to open the doors downstairs.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. I take the wrench back.
There's a stairwell going down, and it is dark.
Well, I have Ivan's flashlight. Rathmuller has a flashlight.
I hold my finger to my lips first and then just listen, see if I hear anything.
Okay, I stay quiet.
you don't hear, well, actually, yes, you do hear, you hear the sounds of like, of small sparking, you know, like the sounds of, exposed wiring. And you smell that smell of like burnt electrical wiring.
I don't hear the sounds of any people down there.
No.
Okay. Let's head down. Right. Let's head down there.
Yep. All right. You. The basement comes down. Here, I'll just. All right. You should be able to see that in a minute.
Here it is.
You are coming from the bottom one, though.
Yep, past the storage. Yep.
And the computer room you can see ahead, and the reason you can see it so well is because the room is on fire.
The room is on fire.
Is there a new map or something? Or
Yeah.
Top corner. Of the Sylvan Pines map.
Oh, okay. Or,
I didn't see that.
Basement. Okay. I'm too zoomed in to see that if you're all of a sudden.
Damn it, the room's on fire.
Are there extinguishers nearby?
Yes. Yes, there are extinguishers.
Are they the right kind for electrical fires?
There's one kind of extinguisher at this point.
Right. Let's hope it's the right kind. Let's hope they had some sense.
So you grabbing one and going and trying to put the fire out?
Yep.
All right. Well, since you are kind of going in towards a room that's kind of... It's just the smoke is just really getting into your nose and getting into your lungs. It's hard to do. Give me a conviction roll to see if you can force yourself to do this. Anyone else that's helping him? Hassan?
Can I pause long enough to get a cloth or something over my face?
Yeah.
Yeah. Conviction.
You want. Ditto, I'll help him out.
Ooh.
That's yeah, good. Sure.
Okay.
Zero.
if you don't get at least one, the fire and the smoke is just too much. You can't get close enough. Hassan is able to get himself in there a little further than you guys and is starting to use the extinguisher on the fire.
I got a one. Not completely useless.
Oh, you got a one? Okay, you're up there too. But Hassan did a little bit better, so he's able to get a hold of you, and he's got the fire extinguisher out, and he's about to pull down the trigger. He aims it at the fire, and there's just this thump sound, and little bits of Hassan get blown back through everybody in the corridor.
Well, what happened?
The extinguisher exploded on Hassan. The guy was bulky enough that you guys don't get hit with shrapnel other than Hassan shrapnel.
The fire extinguisher exploded? The
fire extinguisher exploded.
Damn.
Yeah, let's not use the fire extinguishers. Well, they had an hour.
Give me an alertness roll there, Jameis.
Ooh, nice. Four.
Yeah, the fire extinguishers have been tampered with. You look down at yours and you see... or someone has attached something extra to the collar.
Is it something I could quick and easily remove, make safe?
Yeah, you think you could. Looks like it was pretty simple.
I'm trying to do so.
Do you have,
in this case, I'm going to kill myself.
Do you have repair at all?
Nope.
Okay, well, give me a roll then.
Yeah, I do not have any repair. Go, no repair. As I said, I can kill myself.
Yeah, I would suggest you not keep that roll.
And you couldn't give it to me.
I might need to spend a chip first before I die.
Yes, that might be
the tools. I have to.
All right, let's spend the chip. I
debauch the roll.
I am surprisingly sturdy. Zero. Can't do anything.
Okay, very good. No, actually, with the zero, you you think you can get it off just fine. It just, you need a tool to pry it off that you don't have.
Rena?
Okay. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You have repair. Yeah. You don't need to roll. You just pull the device off.
Right. I very, very carefully set it aside. For Hassan. See, Harald, I told you. I told you. You had a chance to leave. I wish you guys had left.
All right, you get it off just fine. You hand it back to Gavin there. Gavin, start putting out the fire in the computer room. Apparently, it is the correct type of foam. The fires do quickly get dampened as you step over the bits of Hassan.
So is anything here that's supposed to be working?
It looks like someone had not only taken something like your wrench to the engine in this room, but then afterwards, you know, just got the wires all exposed and started a fire on the wooden tables and everything else that's in here. There's actually a guy that's slumped over, doesn't look like he's breathing. He's naked, tied up. Well, he's down to his underwear. He's tied up on the floor.
Is he alive?
He's not moving, including like, just moving.
I can't get down there. There's too much smoke. Bring him up here.
Drag him out.
All right. I'll take a look at him.
Dr. Rescuer, is this place has its own sealed air conditioning, or is it?
You know, it looks like it actually did have some kind of air conditioning system, but it was reliant on electricity to pull out and force in air.
Right. How big are the vents?
About half the size of, like, even you really couldn't fit into them.
Sure, I'm really skinny.
What was the medical roll?
9.
Okay, yeah, you immediately start doing...
You bring him back from the dead.
CPR. He's not breathing. But you start CPR on him, and yes, you are able to get him breathing again.
So,
all right.
Other than the two sets of stairs, is there any other way out of here?
It doesn't look like it. Rathmuller comes down the stairs after she's able to breathe again. She didn't quite make that
at all. Drina, could you look at the generator, please?
Yeah, I'm looking through storage, the tools, the generator.
Simple repair roll, just to get an idea of how badly everything is mucked up.
That's a 3.
Okay, you think you can get it back up and running. The engine's gone, but you think you can get the power going and you can get the doors open again, given time.
Yeah, I'm going to give that a shot.
All right. Tool closet has everything. Well, if we open the doors, we're leaving everyone now.
They're already out of the high security area.
We're letting ourselves out too, though.
Oh, you mean out?
Yeah, now you guys can hear.
When I open the doors, I'm opening everything up, so anybody who's still in this madhouse can get a chance to get out of here.
You guys,
I'm not sure that's wise at this point.
You guys start hearing over the intercom the sounds of the heavy breathing again, and the volume's been turned up on it. And now you also hear
first?
You hear people screaming as well.
Yeah, see, it's time to open all the doors now. Yep.
Go.
I try to fix things.
Go. Move.
Yeah, I've got Ms. Fix-It, so I'm 2 shifts faster.
2 shifts faster, it's still going to take you about 15 minutes.
Rolled a frickin' 4. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm like... Yeah, so Drina's madly, like, snipping wires, reattaching things.
Without that roll, it would have taken days. So you went from days to hours to minutes.
Yeah, my hands will be tied up here, but it'll be working.
It's too bad we can't let anybody on the outside know that a bunch of crazies are about to be released to the public. Or, you know, I could go in and we could try to go in and knock them out. That way they can't escape, but that involves fighting them.
You hear more screams in the background. And then you don't hear screams. And the breathing starts.
My hands are tied. I'm assuming I'm rebuilding this thing from scratch right now.
So what are the rest of you guys doing?
Nothing I can do for 15 minutes.
Alex, your patient is starting to come to. Is it taking, you know, just good sobbing gasps of air as he's clearing his throat, starts hacking up bits of burnt up lung.
You're going to be mediocre for a while.
It's one of those crazies. Grab my uniform.
Who did?
He takes his time and is able to gasp it out. He tells you that one of the crazies hit him over the head, took his uniform and tied him up. Started doing things with the computer.
Did you recognize the patient?
No, I'm the janitor. I don't see the patients too often.
So there's somebody around here in...
Right. Can we do something really crazy? Well, not that crazy, but highly, highly unlikely that we'll be able to sort this out. Is the furnace going at the moment?
Are the what?
Is that furnace?
The furnace. No. You're in the hotter part of the month, so the furnace isn't going. The air conditioning was probably running, but not the furnace.
I'm just thinking if we could have both, well, air conditioning opened up, at least furnace going, pump smoke out into the facility upstairs, so that's going to restrict a lot of people doing stuff.
I'm actually going down a different avenue with knockout gas.
Yeah. Do we have knockout gas?
I have knockout gas.
What the hell?
he does have knockout gas.
That's actually a pretty cool
idea.
It's
underneath my doctor's bag.
Darina, you can probably get the electricity going to the air circulation system done first, if you want to make that a priority.
Sure.
The only problem is I don't have gas masks, so whatever we do, we need to make sure we're in a room that's not going to get that air conditioning.
Is there air conditioning down here?
There are vents, but it looks like you can close them off.
Yeah, we'll start clocking up the vents.
Great. Well, there must be plenty of tools around to jam stuff in there.
There's a whole room of them over there. And a bunch of stuff and storage that we can just use.
So yeah, when there's power back to the air vents, I let them know.
Sure. Yeah, I would say you were able to do that in a few, you know, just a couple of minutes, and you get the air circulating again. Sure. Doctor, you're just going to open up your gas and let it go up through the vents.
Well, yep. Hook it up as much as we can to the air conditioning intake valve down here.
Well, it's aerosolized. I can aerosolize it, so I don't know if that would help. No, probably gas form would probably be better. I'm guessing this is going to be my one use of that item.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I'm out of weapons now.
Well, fortunately, it's a pretty good use, I have to say. If we can
While you guys are doing that, everybody give me an alertness roll.
I'm sorry, you cut out. I hear it.
Everybody give me an alertness roll. Except for Drina. I'm assuming that she's on her back, heads up inside the unit.
Three.
Okay. With a four, Jameis, you gave and hear something behind you at the stairwell. You notice that the doctor isn't with you anymore.
You know what? She can be knocked out too, frankly. Knock them all out, sort them out later.
Yeah, they're not getting out unless those doors are open, so we can check later to see if one of the doors have opened.
Unless she knows another way out.
Yeah. Which unfortunately will lower the effectiveness of this plan, but
wait, what will?
Well, if you want to hook
if one of
you...
if she knows, we'll give it a shot. I'll hook up the gas to the air vent, and as soon as Drina says it's ready to go,
I'll go after the doctor. It doesn't matter if I get knocked out either. I'll just check on what she's doing.
I mean, I let him know as soon as the vents are on. I mean, you can tell when the fans turn on again.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm going to follow the doctor up.
You'll know when the gas is coming out. Just try holding your breath or something.
but you sent that to the entire...
Oops. All right. Well, yeah, give me an alert, Miss Roll.
Me?
Yes, just you.
Just two.
All right. You manage to see, just as you're starting to go up the stairs, you see Dr. Rathmullen's feet hanging out from the stairwell as she's being dragged up through it. This clues you in just with enough time that you manage to hear the sound of like as something goes flying over in the air over your head, and you're able to see this just in time that you duck enough that it, whatever it was, just flies over your head and embeds into the wall behind you. Turn around and you look, and there's three like hypodermic darts stuck into the wall behind your head. It was fired from
I'm not going up there.
The stairs down.
Let's try to get everybody unconscious and then we'll go up and save her. And hopefully we'll do it quickly.
They're better than us.
Or I could just get a canister out and throw it up into that room specifically.
Because they've had months stuck in a room with nothing but their craziness.
Our facility put down as much as possible.
Mm. Well, then that's probably going to get the air conditioning on.
Yep, it's running now. Yep,
that'll be interesting. Here we go.
I will say you've got your...
Well, then I'll start up. I'll start pouring the gas into it.
Mm. Yeah, starts getting sucked right up into the air conditioning, starts circulating through. You've blocked off the air vents down here. Some of the gas, you know, it's a few wisps of it.
I'll also
come out.
Try and just get us some makeshift... face scarf type things that we can use.
I pull out some, if you want, I'll use a fade chip for this. I'll pull out some spare doctor's masks.
That would be something those. I would assume you'd carry in your bag, so that's fine.
That should give us some protection. The gas is colored green, so just don't breathe any green gas.
Well, thank you for making it green. Is there a microphone down here that works? Because I want to talk to Heavy Breather Man.
There was probably one in the computer room, but it's been burned out. Like all that was burned through. You still hear the heavy breathing over the intercoms now. You don't hear screams anymore, but you hear like loud, echoey footsteps on the loudspeakers. And then you start hearing the sound of like wet gurgling.
I think it might have just killed her.
I suspect she'd have been dead as soon as she went up there.
It's a possibility.
Wait, so the thing, or that whoever it is, snuck down here behind us, cracked the doctor over the head, killed her or whatever, and dragged her
up. No, she went up, and as she got out of the door, she got taken.
Right.
And that shot hypodermic darts at me somehow. I don't want to know.
Okay, is the door on our side closed here at the bottom of the stairs?
Nope, because you guys use the gear system, you reach to open.
That's right, we can't close these things.
Yeah, we can.
No, but we can hide in one of the smaller rooms until the gas does its work, like the storage room.
It's doing its work as we speak.
I'm going to say... Yeah. Unless you guys are doing any other actions, 15 minutes pass. Drina, you get the generator back online. The engine controlled which rooms got what power, etc. So really, your only option is to throw power on to the whole facility. you're not going to be able to say it only goes to this room or that room.
Right.
So that's your choice at this point. You've got it running, now you can apply power, but you'd be applying a power to the whole facility.
Well, how much time has the gas had to work?
Let's say you did that 2 in, so yeah, just shy of 15 minutes.
Do we hear heavy breathing still? Is heavy breathing still going on?
You still hear the heavy breathing coming over the speaker system.
Anybody's knocked out is going to be knocked out. Now, I throw the switch.
All right. Lights come back on downstairs. You start hearing the sound of the heavy breathing is covered up with, like, lounge music that starts playing over the...
It's evil! Turn it off! Turn it off!
Music that's interspersed with this gurgling, wet breathing that you hear occasionally.
Yeah, I think I know what he did with the microphone. But I go to the door that leads the stairs up.
Mm-hmm. There's some greenish gas is kind of pulling around floor level. Since you guys are below floor level, it hasn't collected down enough. So you're at a lower level, so the gas hasn't sunk down to this level yet.
I don't know. I think we just have to go out and hope, because the gas... we never established if that gas rises. Well, I guess it would.
He's a dangerous Christian. How flammable is it?
We've already established it is flammable.
Yes.
Yeah, we may want to light it up. But at this point, we're looking at getting us out and pretty much very little else at the moment.
All right, if you think that's not a good option, then go for it.
We may want to have that as a plan B.
It'll all filter out of its facility now that all the doors are open.
Well, if they open the doors. The doors are unlocked.
That's true. I believe the gas actually rises, Bert, so... Could we do a crawl underneath it?
You can do that.
If we look quickly, we got the stairs down there into the staff lounge, through that to the double doors, and you're out.
Right.
With another pair of double doors over there. Run for that.
The facility has power, but the doors that were locked are probably still going to be locked. The doors that were opened will be opened.
We have no idea if those double doors are open or not.
I still think if we do a crawl with the mask we have on, it should be fine. Like how you would get out of a fire.
And you still have the director's card.
Need to go to the security station because that's probably the only. There's got to be at least one door that station opens, and that engine will have power again.
No, the engine is downstairs.
Yeah,
it's an interface to the engine down here.
The security station they had said is just a monitoring station. The engine was down here.
Because whichever doors we go for, that is going to determine which way we come out of here. If we want the ones beside the main office, then we've got to go through the stairwell over there. If we want to try this back door route near the staff lounge, we've got to go through these other stairs.
Here's the thing. When it went into lockdown, wouldn't it have locked all of the doors to the outside? So I think we're screwed either way.
We have, as the voice said, we do have the director's card.
True. But it has nothing to confirm against because it would go against the engine.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think we're just going to have to take our best guess here. I mean, the engine down here is in ruins, basically. So,
remember when I'm talking about some kind of explosive using the stuff down here that we can blow a door open with?
Also, remember when I'm talking about cards, I didn't make this explicit, but like you ran into in the past, these are punch cards. These are not magnetic swipey cards. So like the card itself works like a real key. It has a combination of dots and openings on it. So it is likely that the card and the doors are mechanical and don't have to reference anything.
Okay. Well, that makes a difference.
We still may want to set up some explosive to blow the door open anyway.
Well, yeah, but explosives tend to be fiery, and that would tend to light up the gas.
We had the booby trap that was on your fire extinguisher. That was explosive.
The reason it came off, so what it did was, when you pull the pin, what makes the thing squirt when you pull it is, you know, all the pressure is suddenly released into an area that has less pressure. Gear mechanism, what it did was force, it doubled the pressure back into canister, causing the canister to explode. It was not itself a explosive.
Gotcha.
How many fire extinguishers were there? Were there just two or more?
Yep. There, and one was used and one exploded.
The best bit is the one doubled over by the staff lounge. Get out that way.
Let's do that.
I think so, too. The door is already open, too, so.
Come on, janitor person.
He's having trouble.
What's your name, anyway?
Ralph.
That's right,
Ralph. Well, you can stay here or come with us.
He starts crawling after you. So you guys, the idea is you're going to try to low crawl. Hoping the gas is risen.
I'll go on ahead quietly and see if I make sure the way's clear.
All right, give me a discipline roll.
Discipline, not stealth.
Well, if you're being stealthy, the discipline is just to make sure that you can go through it without losing consciousness. Actually, you could do discipline, or you could do endurance would be fine too.
I'm going to do discipline because I don't have endurance.
Yep. One would just represent your body's natural ability to fight it off. The other one is you fighting it, fighting the effects of the gas.
Well, everybody probably needs to do one of those rolls, right?
Yep. If you're trying to crawl, go for it.
Discipline two.
Yep. Well, I'm only looking for a positive number. If you get a zero, you just start hacking and coughing. If you get a negative number, you pass out from the gas.
You know, I'm going to spend a fate chip. I was in the war, you know. I've seen gases like this before.
You got to crawl lower, boy. Lower!
I'm going to guarantee a success by just giving myself a plus two, which brings it up to a two.
Okay. There you go.
So, discipline.
Right. So, this is a discipline roll?
Discipline or endurance. Okay. And let's see how
I'm rolling endurance then.
It seems that your janitor is doing just fine.
It's two.
All right. You've got this slowly crawling conga line going up the stairs, down the hall. The gas has risen a couple of feet off the ground. So it is dissipating. It is rising higher. Where are you heading?
I'll show where my figure is, through the staff lounge there and then through the double doors right by there.
Now, the gas is this kind of, you know, bilious green. So you've got the lights on and it's shining through this. Makes it, you know, visibility is very difficult as you're going through here. You do see two figures slumped over in the staff lounge on the table. It's the Japanese couple. It looks like someone has not only cut their throats, but took the coffee cups that they were drinking from and jammed them into their mouths, kind of breaking their jaws along with it.
Ooh.
Keep going, keep going.
Yeah, I think we need to get to a call box because we need some backup on this.
Where are you guys crawling to?
We're going south.
Out through the double doors here.
All right, double doors are locked.
Key card.
Okay. The light goes green, and you hear the chunk, and looks like the doors are open.
To the car. I'm running.
As I exit out the door, I'm going to close it again, and if I put the key card in again, will it lock it?
You can try.
What does it do if I... does it seem locked when I close it?
Yeah, I mean, the light goes off, it goes green, and you hear a ka-chunk behind you.
And it seems locked when I try it again.
Over the wall, into the city, and away from this freaking place.
I don't care if the door is locked, I'm running. I'm running.
I don't want these loonies running free.
Too late. Too late.
Looking over the facility, Bert, do I see the gas coming out any particular area?
Does Other than like the door, that you just opened, no. And actually, you can see, the windows, through the windows, you can still see that the gas is pretty thick in there.
Okay, I think we'll be good for a little while. I suggest we get to the nearest call box and or our car and call in some backup.
The main door, the main gate is electronically controlled, remember? Will be locked
currently. Okay, that's all.
Go over the 15-foot wall and get the freak out of here. Well, what's these doors here where my character is?
It's another set. Car. It's like a back entrance. It's another set of wrought iron doors, but they don't look anywhere near as sturdy as the front gates were.
Gina, you're going to have to leave your car behind. We can come back for it. Well, either way, if you're staying here with your car, good luck. I'm out of here.
What, are you going to climb the gate?
Through the gate.
Well,
is it a key card?
Is the gate big enough to let the car through?
Yes.
What, are you going to run all the way back to town?
The gate is large enough to get your car through, and the iron fencing here does seem to be not nearly as sturdy as the front gate.
Fine, I'm getting the car.
You get the car, we'll see if we can open the gate so you don't have to crash through it. But otherwise.
All right. Aldrina, you climb into the car, you start it up, and going to go to the close-in cam as we're looking through the front window of Drina's car. She sticks her key in the ignition, turns it on, starts putting it in the gear, and then Drina doesn't notice it at first. This is going to be just a descriptive moment that I'll let you act. You see... slowly, a head of a person rises from the back seat. He's got an oxygen mask on, and he's got a tank of oxygen in his hand. And he's about to slam it onto the back of Drina's head. This is where Drina can roll alertness. I wanted to get the creepy scene in where the guy kind of rises from the back seat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. I pity the fool, basically.
All right, what's your total, Drina?
I'm sorry.
What's your total for your alertness?
4.
All right. You can act. He's slower. You catch it in the rearview mirror. You catch this guy rising up out of your back seat. He's got an oxygen mask strapped to his face. He's rising. He's got the oxygen tank in his hand. He's about to smash it onto the back of your head.
I think we found our terrorist.
Right, that's no problem. I'm going to. It's time to start tagging shit like there's no tomorrow. So I'm going to see. He's got the oxygen mask off on. I've been using it for a while. So. Yeah, he's been forced to use the oxygen mask a little longer, so I'm tagging him with an aspect, lightheaded.
Okay.
And I'm hitting him with the wrench.
So you spin a chip to tag him with the aspect, and you're going to hit him with the wrench.
Yes.
All right, fair enough.
He thought he got a drop on me, but...
Ooh.
But see, I'm also
okay. Person rolled is going to have a net 2. You got a what's your total now before factoring in the tag that you just put on the person?
Before the tag.
Yeah.
I'm at -1.
-1. Okay, so you can tag the lightheaded to make yourself a little bit faster than they are. And you can use that as a reroll, or you can add 2, giving yourself a +1.
Yeah, I'm going to reroll.
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh! Oh. Want to tag something else there?
Yeah, he seems to be very lucky. Fortunately, I'm faster than you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to reroll because I cannot do worse.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's at least an improvement.
That is an improvement. So that is. So with the aspect, that's a 3.
That's a 3. Okay, so she, the person defends with the is going to, you know, try to hit you with the gas tank while you try to hit them with the wrench. You're just a little bit better. Your wrench kind of ricochets off the tank and plugs the person in the side of the head a little bit, but unfortunately, that's only a single box of damage that you do to the person.
Didn't you use the aspect to do a reroll? Hmm? I thought you used the aspect to do a reroll.
So,
no, you're right. No, Jameson's right.
So that'd be a 1.
So yeah, your total is a 1, right? Okay, so yeah, okay, your total's a 1. So yeah, it's the opposite then. The person's able to swing the oxygen tank, it knocks your wrench to the side and is able to club you on the side of the face a little bit. So you'll take a box 1.
Right.
And, person's just gonna try and continue to clobber you with the gas tank. What are you trying to do at this point? Now, they still have the aspect of lightheaded, but now you've got to spend chips to be able to tag it, and you've already tagged it, this scene, so you can't tag that again.
Right. I got that. Then, let's see. I'm going to try to hit him again.
Oh, they got a 0 this time.
Ooh, she didn't.
A 4.
You got a 4?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, your wrench goes right upside the person's head and knocks the gas mask off of them, and the very just, you know, Lilia Sadat. Her eyes are just kind of bulging, or, you know, her teeth are kind of got this feral kind of cast to them, and she's like just now just, you know, intent in bashing your skull in. So you took a 4, which is 1 more than she could take. So she's going to take a consequence here. And so you've opened up a big gash on the side of her head. So she's got blood kind of streaming into her eyes here.
And, I want to turn that.
Will knock down 2 boxes, like, so she'll have a 2.
I want to tag another one of my aspects and turn that 4 into a 6.
Okay, what do you want to tag?
Well, I speak softly and carry a big wrench. No, actually, I'm Janie on the spot. See, so yeah, the cracker, the mask goes flying, and the other hand's got the pepper spray.
Oh, nice. All right, you can hit her with the spray as well. Okay, so yeah, spend your chip, and that'll turn it into a 6. Well, she doesn't want to go down lightly. Let's see. She's going to have to take a moderate consequence instead to be able to keep functioning. Let's see. Pepper spray. Okay, so she's blinded. You've got the pepper spray. Now, you got a good shot directly into her eyes, so she can't see. Got blood dripping into her face.
Gotcha. So she is, all right.
But that does keep her going. Yeah. It does keep her going.
So you I never give a sucker an even break, so I'm cracking her in the head again.
Are you using the aspect? Because if you want to just keep adding on to that roll and make this an 8 now.
Oh yeah, but dude, yeah, I got my 2 last chips. I'm a woman of iron, mm-hmm. And I speak softly and carry a big wrench. Mm-hmm. So I lean over and say, yeah, you know, heavy breathing on the phone, that's a low rent move, bitch. And I clock her in the jaw.
All right. So you got it up to what, a 10 with all of that?
So that would be a 10, yep.
Yeah, okay. So she can't even get rid of that with a major consequence, so she's out.
Okay. Look in the rearview mirror. I reach in the glove compartment. I pull out a comb. I straighten my hair. And driving back to the back gate.
All right.
What took you so long?
Well, the bad guy tried to kill me.
Oh.
And, Gaben, would you be so kind as to disrobe this woman in my back seat and tie her securely to my rear bumper?
No.
Well, I didn't really mean the last part. Only the first part.
That I can do.
Yep, so yeah, on the drive back, try to bring her around, Doctor, because I got some questions.
We're going to pull over right. The first call box we have to alert authorities that this ship's gone down.
Yeah, the first call box we pulled to, I say, but it's a terrible road, and I'm driving really slowly.
All right, if you actually want to try and break her back around, you need 6 successes just to get her stable again.
Yeah, I really like her.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a couple.
Yeah.
I'll use some smelling salts to try to bring her around. I think it's been a while, another scene since I tagged the medicine aspect, so I'll tag that again. That brings it to 5, 6, 7, 8.
All right, no, that's enough. So she's shakes herself awake and just immediately starts, like, you know, struggling against her bonds, and she's frothing at the mouth.
You didn't tell me she was psycho. What do you expect to get out of her?
Why? She wasn't psycho before. She was totally lucid an hour ago.
I wonder if there's like a trigger. I'm thinking right now that machine probably puts you in a hypnotic state, as Gaven was kind of alluding to, and maybe they could have said something to her that gave her a trigger. She did kind of like completely disappear on us when she left the office.
But
I don't think she's a mastermind.
Don't have a lot of time to talk about it.
She's just going nuts. She's trying to rip out of her bonds and frothing at the mouth and just kind of lunging herself forward, trying to get to you, Drina. She's got it out for you.
Don't make me go back there.
I don't have the Vulcan bitch.
I'll produce something to sedate her and put her back under, because I don't think we're getting anything helpful out of her. She's not talking, right?
No. It doesn't mean by the look that she has in her eye. I mean, there's nothing there behind. I mean, there's just no intelligence that you can see back there. It's just all feral.
All right.
Yeah, I'm gonna sedate her. Mm-hmm. She'll live.
Good.
She'll need to go into a psychiatric facility for a while, though.
Well, I know a great one. It's in all the men, you know. It's rated really highly, apparently.
$2,000 a day?
Anyway, have we found a call box yet to call out the authorities?
Yeah, you can do that easily enough. So who do you call, and what do you say?
I think we just call Blair. He's Blair. Frankly, given that this is not chew on guild grounds and stuff, that's going to go way higher than us to sort this out. Just call Blair, tell her we're investigating and something. We don't know what the hell they triggered all this shit off.
I think it was our investigation that triggered everything.
Yeah, it was. Realized that. But we're going to call Blair and tell her that, they were trying to block us off and some people are being let loose on that. We'll sort it out afterwards. Just get people up there and sort the facility out.
Right. She's going to treat it as
we got a bunch of people that may escape and kill a bunch of citizens if you guys don't get down there.
Yeah. They haven't already.
Yeah. She's going to treat it as a quarantine situation then, and she'll send up people to cordon off the area, etc. What are you guys doing afterwards?
Well, I don't think she's mastermind, otherwise she wouldn't have gone completely bonkers.
That would be, what were you thinking, Klimp?
Yeah, I guess we should put out an APB on Klimp. Poor Hassan. which I did warn.
So obviously, somebody was able to get out of the facility, so whoever was the mastermind got out of the facility.
Yeah, the thing is, it's gonna take days to sift through the wreckage, see who's dead, see who, how many patients are there, who's alive, who actually was there that belonged there.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna take.
Somebody from the facility, one of the doctors, though.
So do you guys want a cutscene?
Yeah, I want to see Klemp in his like Antarctic underwater lair laughing at us.
All right. So as you guys go driving off, and you cut back to the facility, and in the room you see a guy that's kind of just whistling along, and he's got a gray janitorial uniform on. He goes into he swipes a card into a door, and it opens up into a room where there's like a small generator going on. And there's a guy slumped in the corner, kind of deeply snoring away. And there's like a microphone set up right near his mouth. The guy turns off the microphone, casually cuts the guy's throat. And you got a scene of his back as he's removing his the janitorial costume that he had on. And you see him straighten up. You don't see his face. You see him in the mirror straightening up his tie. You don't see anything but like his chin and below. Straightens up his tie. Puts on a business overcoat, pulls a brush out, brushes it off, picks up a cane and a suitcase, and just kind of casually walks out the front door.
I don't care at this point. I have no particular direct contact with this person, so if he turns back up, he's out. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
But he will come back up. Oh, yes. You know he will.
Obviously, Harris.
A few days later, there are lots of reports in the newspaper about homes being broken into, and one of the headlines is "Cannibal Killer on the Loose." A couple other headlines like that, where houses have been broken into, and extreme violence taking place. Just really graphic, descriptions of the violence going on in the newspapers. You do eventually, all of you get a report that's sent to you actually through diplomatic attachés. And you all have to, sign the state secrets paper to be let in on some things. The facility was being held in some regards for political prisoners. So some of the people that were in that ward too, were very influential people who had mental problems, but, couldn't just be done away with. They had to be, secured. And, they were able to get into the facility. They did catch people. Your Dr. Rathmuller is dead. Klemp is actually alive, but someone had removed and started eating his left leg.
We go in and kill him because he really pissed us off.
And some of the patients in Ward 2 were accounted for, but four of them escaped, or at least were not caught. All the people that were in Ward 1 that were the voluntary were all killed, as was the rest of the staff.
Is Klemp crazy? Or just injured?
He was injured.
Considering where he started from, would you be able to tell the difference?
Mm. Very true. Yeah. True. He survived. Whether or not he's mentally stable is another thing.
I honestly don't know what else we could have done to handle that any differently.
I'm sure there's things we could have done, but the base case, we were just trying to get out of it alive, to be honest. We weren't really worried about trying to save other people. Mm-hmm. We got the janitor out. Come on.
We really did the best we could. I mean, to try. I pretty much told half a dozen people, look, you should leave now. Mm-hmm. No. I mean,
well, you have some.
You had the knockout gas, which totally blew me away. I'm sure, I mean, we gave it, I basically took like chunks of plastic slag and turned it into a generator in 15 minutes. What else could we possibly have done?
There's some positive fallouts from this as well. Since they did end up pulling all the diplomatic strings to find out exactly who was put in this facility, they have a complete list of who the patients were. So if anyone else was actually compromised, you know, all the patients that have been released from Sullivan Pines have been rounded up, and they're checking for them. As you had mentioned, that there might have been some kind of brainwashing going on. So they did manage to do that. They do eventually catch a couple of the escaped Ward 2 people, but there's still two that end up getting away. The other two, they ended up being gunned down by the police finally. What is disturbing is out of the other two patients that did get away, both of them were agents for various governments. One of them was a double agent. Were very good at their trade. And something happened where they just kind of snapped, and they were put into this facility to kind of just get them out of the way. They still had secrets, still had information that they needed to, you know, get from these guys, but weren't able to. You do find out that the Dr. Klimt's instruments were actually being used to try and get the information from these two spies.
What are their names?
We may not be allowed to know that.
Well, they give you some of the aliases, but since no one was really sure if these guys were double agents or what, they don't even know that their backgrounds or what they have is completely accurate. These guys were really deep undercover for maybe more than one country.
In terms of what actually brought us into this, of Sandy Walters, I'm actually siding with you now, Ms. Ayrbauer, that I think she was... Daniel possibly made a move on her, and everything sort of got triggered off of that. She just wasn't that stable coming out of it.
Right.
I think that it was a combination of things. I think they actually did have a somewhat of a relationship beforehand. I think somehow she found out that he was a real womanizer. That's what caused her to go off, but also
he did remind her of her husband.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to know what some of the plot were or not?
Only concerning the original crime, Daniel Brown and Sandy Walters.
Okay.
And her husband.
Do all of you want to know?
Picture, long-term enemy, former intelligence agent, superhero guys who will reappear over and over again.
And that's a threat, Bert. They better reappear.
Oh, yes. So do you guys want to know more about Sandy and Daniel?
Yeah, that's the only part I want to know more about.
Well, with a little digging, what you could have found out is that Sandy's husband was killed because he got into the smuggling business, started doing some illicit activity with moving freight here and there, selling to people he shouldn't have. She finds out that Daniel was doing that, and not only does Daniel now look like her husband, but was doing the things that led up to her husband being killed in the first place, and it was just too much. She'd been living, you know, all those years completely devoid of emotion because she couldn't handle her husband's death and the way he died, and now Daniel is doing the same thing her husband did, so she just snaps. The machine.
And that's why the boxes were missing.
Yeah. Yep, Daniel. Oh, yeah, you guys do get actually a paycheck for that as well. So they do find out that Daniel had been smuggling crates out, getting the crates that had more expensive supplies in it, moving the numbers around so that on the other end of the receiving, you know, crate, you know, they're getting something much more valuable than had been ordered. Paperwork gets shuffled on the other end. Daniel gets cut a check. So you did actually end up solving or help to solve another crime for the guilds there as well.
Yep, yeah, that good.
Okay, and unfortunately, Drina, you don't get away with this scot-free. How many children did you have?
8.
Uh-huh. Who was the most recent child you have?
I have 2 10-year-old twins.
Oh, that's bad. Okay. You don't ever remember giving birth to your twins.
You don't remember
you
them.
Sons of bitches.
You don't know who they are. You don't remember anything about giving life to and or raising these two children.
Oh, dear God.
Yep. Five was selective memory loss. May not be permanent. Maybe.
I didn't trust that machine. I warned you guys.
No, wait. What was four? Because I rolled a four.
Oh. Well, four or five was the same thing. One and two was something. Three was something. Four or five was something. And six was something. So, yep. You got selective memory loss. May come back to you, may not. But things are strained in your household for a while you wonder where these two strange kids come from.
She probably just thinks they're the street urchins that always hang out at her house. Or am I misremembering?
Except I have a husband and six other kids telling me different.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And so you've got these two crying 10-year-olds that don't want to know why their mother doesn't love them anymore.
I need to find a shrink. B. I need to find Clem.
I wish I had got on that machine now. That would have been cool. There's a whole new plot hook that you had no idea about anymore.
You've got tons of stuff you want to forget that you've done. No.
No, there's tons of stuff I don't want to come to light. There's a difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wants to be able to know that it's actually coming to light when it comes to light. That way he can
exactly.
He can react to it.
I need to find Clint, and we're going to have a sit down, and he's going to tell me in detail the workings of his machine so that I can build one and undo whatever the hell he did to me. Or else somebody will be eating his right leg.
So this would be a good time for Drina to perhaps drop an aspect and get a new one.
Let's see.
Mother of eight, no longer.
Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, I now have to drop. I've got eight kids.
We still got six kids.
No, you still have eight kids. You just have no idea where two of them came from.
Yes. Or their memory of their childhood.
Mm. They kind of look like your husband.
And your newest bit is I am now a Jerry Springer episode.
Sorry, Abel. I had to screw you with your family sooner or later. Now, the only other thing that really could have been done in the adventure is if you wandered around a bit more and started talking to some of the Ward 1 people, you would have gotten a little heads up on what was going on. Could potentially have found out more about who was staying there and why they were there.
I considered that. I basically, we just didn't have enough time in the end to do that.
Yeah. I was perfectly willing to make this a two-parter if you went that route, but that's all right. It ended up pretty cool. And now I've got at least one, if not more, reoccurring villains.
Yeah, because you don't have enough of those.
No, I don't.
Great. Yeah, I'm dropping double toil and trouble, and I'm taking absent minded. I can't take. I will eat Clem's right leg if he doesn't help me.
Hey, that's plot point.
Sure to be that helpful.
That's plot point we can build on because Clem will eventually be able to come back to what sanity he had to begin with.
I still think that this was a German machine produced by R3, and we have no idea what that's going to entail.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, is the machine intact?
Well, I mean, the machine, the machine is intact. Unfortunately, it was really the engine in the basement that did everything, though. The machine is just, it's just a chair and a bunch of lights without the data that was on the engine.
There are four lights.
Nobody's going to get that reference. Or maybe some people.
All right, well, three
I'd
experience.
I'd be surprised if most of the audience doesn't get that reference.
So I will,
sure.
Right, I will go ahead and this will end with me standing in front at at the foot of Clem's hospital bed, just tapping my wrench in my hand.
Waiting
for him to wake up.
Sweet. Do you want to see him, doctor?
Do we get some XP out of this and stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just wanted to see if anybody else wanted a finishing scene to do something or set up something. You got anything? Either one of you? Alex, Jameis?
Well, obviously, I'm going to release the bodies back to their rightful family after, you know, basically finishing it off with what I was doing with them and releasing the bodies back. Other than that, I don't have anything else. Mm-hmm.
Jameis?
Damn quack science and their mental games.
No, just doing it. Nothing on screen.
All right, good enough. Well, everybody gets 3 experience points for tonight's adventure. I did not award you some chips in the game that I should have, so you can tack it on to your refresh for next episode if this puts you, since we're doing the carryover refresh. Ben, yeah, take a refresh for the great idea of using your knockout gas. That saved you a lot of peril. Instead of having to try and get out of a facility with a bunch of deranged psychopathic individuals barring your way, you knocked him out. Good for you.
Yeah, but nice twist on the gas mask. I wasn't expecting that at all. Wasn't even thinking that they'd have ready supply of oxygen in a medical facility. I don't know why.
Oh, so wait, we're taking fate points into the next session.
Yeah, that's if you save more fate points in your refresh, you can keep them instead of being bumped down to your starting refresh.
Okay.
But if you have less than your starting refresh, you get your starting refresh.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool.
No, yeah, it's good. But I blew my wad, making sure that the bitch stayed right down.
It's a good move, though.
But yeah, I was saying, ideally in this system, the way you get rid of somebody is like, you have everybody tag someone with an aspect, and then the last person in a round, like, find some weird Rube Goldbergian way to get everything together.
While we were on our break, that's what we were talking about with James.
And just, like, add, like, +6 or +8 to whatever their attack is.
Mm-hmm. And when you set up a tag for someone else to take the benefit of, that person doesn't have to spend the fate chip, so you get 3 people sticking aspects on the bad guy. By the time the 4th person gets to act, he can tag all those aspects free.
It's like she's lightheaded and she has a gimpy leg and she, yeah, whatever the hell it was. So
I can't believe you had a -4 then a -3 in a row.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
Or -3 and then a -4. Sorry,
that happens.
Yeah, that's okay. I knew it was kind of the last fight, so I just shot the load. I hit it with everything, pretty much.
That was pretty good. You guys gave up some other stuff I didn't expect.
Any other fate points you wanted to reward?
Well, I mean, what else do you? What else would you like to put up for it? I mean, the gas was a great idea. Drina's problem with her children is something that she took on from doing the chair thing, so I don't want to award something for that. Although if I had compelled her to do it, that would be different. Any other scenes you guys would like to suggest for chips? I'm fine with giving out chips. I just I tend to forget in the middle of the game. So, I mean, the best time to remind me to say, hey, was that cool enough to get a chip for during the session? That's perfectly fine to do, by the way.
I can't think of anything. I know there was one in there that I wanted to suggest, but
unless you're being really generous, and wanted to give me one for thinking of searching the entire bay to find those damn crates.
Oh, you know, that scene was actually pretty cool because that got you guys an extra contract completion. So, the both of you that did that get it.
Hey, that actually bumps me up to the point where I actually have more fate chips than I start with.
As far as the game's concerned, your money that you're getting for the contracts, I mean, that's just a matter of it's unless you buy your resources up, it just means that you find more creative ways to blow it and you blow it. But what I'm doing is keeping track of how many contracts you actually finish.
And if we could finish incidental contracts on the way that they weren't even given to us,
yeah. Yep. And so you scored an extra contract by, pointing out Daniel's, or what led to Daniel being captured.
So is this considered a successful contract closed for Sandy Walters?
Or not? Yeah, because they now know that anyone released from Sylvan Pines that at minimum need to be watched because they're probably compromised. So yeah, it's successful.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Actually, I think it would be considered two, right? Because we also found about the smuggling.
Yeah, that's what you get two successes for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, I think that's pretty much it. So next week we have another game.
Yes, we do.
Yep. Did we want to bring up the idea of a separate session, as it were, for world building?
Yeah, I'd like to do a world building section because I've got a bunch of ideas that I want to make history. But I also, more than welcome other people's ideas as well. Maybe do since we're playing this coming Saturday, maybe do a world building session on one of the Saturdays we don't normally play. I'm gonna try. I'll post up some dates, and we'll see how many. I want to get the most people possible making it. So,
right.
Try to do it for a date that everyone's.
Are you gonna use any? Are you gonna use the world building rules out of or some of those type of rules from some of the other advanced fake games?
Dresden and Diaspora both have some really nice world-building rules to them, which give aspects to your universe as you're doing it. So, yeah, I'd like to use some of those. But also, I also want to just kind of hammer out the history, what started the war that's going on? What are the sides specialize in? Because each nation kind of has a specialty.
Yeah, I kind of want to know that stuff, too. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think also more about Metapol and what are the various sectors, what do they do, what are they like.
Uh-huh.
I'm good at hammering things out. You can count on me.
Cool. I'll put it up on the Obsidian Portal forums because I just want people that have actually played in the game to be part of that. Love people that listen to it, but I also the people that are more involved with it, I want to be able to get a voice into the creation of the world and such.
Yeah, you're kind of getting overflown with people that want to join now because you kept saying, I want more people.
Yep, and which is good because, we've got a day like today where one person signed up and wasn't able to play. If we had had somebody that wanted to sit by as a shark, we could have thrown someone else in. And then maybe you'd be more wanted to go, mano a mano a bit more and do it the hard way instead of the very smart way that it was ended up being done.
Last week, Bert said to me, "You'd like to have more than two people when dealing with the mental hospital." And I think, right. So I was a little bit wary of, what the hell was going to happen.
So we'll do next Saturday. Marcus can't play next Saturday either, but we'll be back the following session. As far as character is concerned, his character sent the message saying that he's gone underground for a bit, trying to figure out the Harris angle. I'm sorry, you had something, Ben? Go ahead.
I was going to say, me and you have discussed about switching the voice service, and I don't know if that's something you're going to be implementing, but it might be something you want to talk about more.
That might be something to do on the World Building Skype Conference. Well, if we get, good four or five people on there, it might be worth trying it for that. Right now, I'm still not got my computer rig all up and running. I'm still doing this off of Mac and a poor powered PC. So I'm holding off and trying a different voice thing until I get my hardware ironed out.
for this podcast was provided by Kevin MacLeod. More of his music can be found at incompetech.com. Of Steam, Steel, and Murder is an actual play podcast recorded every 2 weeks. If you have an interest in playing or would like to leave us feedback, please send an email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com. Our ongoing campaign can be found along with many other great games at the obsidianportal.com website.
Undersea base to Gutter Skypes. Are you there, Gutter Skypes?
We'll be arriving at the Cornucopia Collective in about how many?
Yeah,
exactly.
And my gun crews are ready. Our guns are loaded, pointed, ready for raking, rolling fire, and we're going to try and cut their rigging.
Listen to her.
Ready to go, darling. We're set. The guns are ready. Captain, whenever you want, just give us the word.
Dr. Pierre Depardieu stands up once again, and he screams. He screams at the top of his lungs, he shouts.
I wanted a mascot dragon.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
If it was, where would we put it?
Who's going to clean up after it? Who's going to walk it? Who's going to buy it its little chew toys, you know?
Yeah. I see. We should go kick some Nazi ass now.
Indeed. The Gutter Skypes.